The following is brought to you courtesy of the No Phony Podcast Network, home of independent awesomeness.
Welcome back to another episode of On the Road with Jim and Casey. Joining me, as always, James Morganti.
That's right.
Joining us today is actor and filmmaker Glenn Payne. How you doing, man?
Pretty good. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, man. How are you holding up during this life in the quar, as we call it?
Well, when we get done with this, I'm going to spend the next 30 minutes super gluing my sunglasses back together. So that's about how my luck's been going lately. Pretty good,
that's
though.
That's interesting. Casey just broke his glasses yesterday just by taking them off.
Yep.
Wow.
That's what I did. I just took them off and they just gently fell into two pieces. I don't know why. I'm not sure what happened.
You know, I'm part of the glasses community, and did you ever go swimming with them and lose them in the water and have to drive home then, possibly while drinking and you shouldn't have, but you need them to? I've done that. I mean, it happened to me. I'm not proud of that. But yeah, lost my glasses in the water. Fell off my face.
Yeah, that would be rough. That would be rough.
Yeah. So I was reading your bio. It's, you have here Libra. I noticed that you put in your trivia part in your bio here that you're a Libra and also a classically trained painter. I was reading.
Right.
Like, I love the Zodiac. Okay, so you're the balance of everything. I always thought Libras would make great judges of people because they're like, hey, you have the balance of everything. Two people coming at it from opposite poles fighting each other. You're like, hey, let's see what we can do here, you know?
I think you're right, yeah, because I feel like I always have the right answer. So, yeah, that makes
right?
sense.
Okay.
Yeah, like life's – some things are complicated, but most things are just not really that hard. I feel like, but
I agree. My Mars and Jupiter, my Mars and Saturn are in Leo, which is like your like war sign and your like life look at life sign of like looking at things in a broader view. So like they're both Libra for me, but I'm Gemini, sun sign anyway.
Yeah.
But so tell us about your painting. I mean, like,
yeah,
I love art, and what got you into that? As a kid.
Well, I was actually, I mean, as a kid, I was always drawing. That was just sort of who I was every day, all day. So it kind of was natural to lead into that. So I went to college for fine art and majored in painting and drawing, I guess. And actually got into film at the very end of that. And the two of them, it's funny because they're obviously both art forms, so they're super linked in a lot of ways. It's funny because they're very, very similar and very different all at the same time, which may sound kind of silly, but a lot of the same lessons transfer over, which is pretty cool. But yeah, I used to travel the country selling paintings at art festivals outdoors and did galleries and the whole thing. I still do that stuff too, just with film is sort of my primary thing. But yeah, it's an interesting life though, trying to make a living that way. It's not the easiest.
Would you pack them in your car and like travel, or
yeah,
is that
yeah.
you do, and just drive the country
all over the place? Yeah.
Man, that's awesome. I love that. That's what we're doing right now. She'd be like, I love it. That's like the best. You probably have the best stories. Like the cool stories
yeah.
come from those experiences.
And met some of the most interesting characters too, man. Sometimes there are other artists and sometimes just people working at the places, you know. There was a very Robin Williams type guy I met once who was like a maintenance guy at some festival in Oklahoma or somewhere. Super wild character. But yeah, a lot of crazy stories.
How many years were you on the road selling your art?
It was probably, I don't know, like 3 to 5 years, somewhere in that range. It's kind of all a blur at this point. It felt like a lot longer because it's not the easiest thing to do. But
what were you driving around in? Like in a van or just your own vehicle? Take your own car?
I was in a minivan for most of it, which I actually loved. It was like the smoothest ride. It was great. I loved it.
I drove minivans years ago when I was delivering. I would take them for some deliveries sometimes. And minivans are not a lot of people know that. They have a lot of pickup power.
Yeah.
Good, like, easy access.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I got you.
Anyone we've ever talked to that has had a minivan loves it.
Yeah. It's like, they're obviously big, but they're about as sleek as it's going to get without getting into, like, a full-size, you know, kind of work van. It's harder to kind of lumber around. And anyway, I loved it. Yeah, it was awesome. It was great.
Where are you living currently?
I'm in Blue Springs, Mississippi, which is really close to Tupelo, North Mississippi.
You've been there? Is that your hometown or is mm-hmm. that just?
Yeah.
Back in the right. hometown.
Yeah, that's where I'm stationed from. Yeah, I've done the whole debate about moving, you know, for years and years. But so far it still works out pretty well to make stuff here, so, kind of branch out.
So after the art thing, how do you get involved with acting? You started as an actor first, right? Before you started making your own films?
Well, I actually started making my own stuff with, like, the cheapo little $100 camera from Walmart with my sisters and friends, whoever would do stuff. And strangely enough, which I love acting now and I do it as much as I can, but, like, I only started acting because somebody had to be in the stuff that I was making. You know, so it was sort of a necessity thing. So, that's how I got started. And that was at the end of college for fine art. I had like a little intro to film class and I made this really awful little short film as my final exam. And then kind of went from there and just kept making stuff and it's like slowly figuring it out and hopefully trying to get better and better and sort of piece things together and meet more people to get involved with. So it was a long journey, but a thorough one.
Yeah. What is your most recent movie's Drive, right?
Driven. Yeah.
And where did you shoot that at?
We actually filmed it in Tupelo, Mississippi, which is usually pretty dang warm. But when we shot it, it was freezing cold and there was ice everywhere. And it was like this historical winter storm that we had, which was so cool to deal with. Nobody died, so that's good.
Okay, all right. No actors were harmed in the filming of your video. Okay, where did you where did you find the actors? Just like do you find them locally, or are they
get people? Yeah, So there's a lot of super talented people locally, and Casey Dillard is the co-star in the movie, and she's also the writer and co-producer with me. So we had worked together for several years on different projects, a lot of short films and stuff like that, and we're in an improv comedy troupe together. And then Richard Spate Jr., who's on Supernatural and a lot of other stuff in TV especially, we met him in a film festival in Mississippi in Oxford. And got him involved. He liked the script, so he came to Mississippi to make it with us. And so, like I said, the whole thing takes place inside or around a single vehicle, and it's a comedy thriller, comedy horror, but it's all at night, so we shot the whole thing overnight, which was when it was freezing and cold and everyone was almost dying. You said no one was harmed. I mean, harm, it depends on how you define harm, but everybody has all their fingers and stuff, so.
Oh, yeah, right, okay. I got you. So yeah, when you bring up improv, like, I think improv is like one of the coolest things because like it's hard to get good at that. I used to play guitar for this like improv group in I'm going back when I was like 24 maybe. I even forget where it was, somewhere in Philly. And I went there several times and would just play little jingles for them while they would try their comedy.
Yeah.
Backup guy. I just like in the background. And it's such a hard, like, it's not hard. I think you just got to get in the spirit, like, right away. And it's like harnessing that, like, zeitgeist or whatever of what's happening right now. Like, I think it's so hard to do. Like, what advice do you have for people trying to, like...
Yeah. I think the biggest thing, kind of like what you were saying, kind of going for it, the biggest thing in it is to be able to let your guard down, like not be afraid to look stupid. Like, you know, you're not even necessarily trying to look stupid to be silly on purpose, but you have to be willing to just do whatever. Like you said, be in the moment and whatever happens naturally, go with it. Because if you try to like plan stuff out, like, oh, I got this really funny joke that I'm going to squeeze in, or I'm going to do this thing I've thought of in advance, like it always kind of crumbles and never works. But when that's you just like, go with the flow, yeah.
Right. That's, I mean, like, I'm sure you've heard about the comics that what Joey Diaz and I forget what he said. What did he say? He put something about, I feel like comics, like, just, you know, let them say something freely. You know, if something happens, the poor person, they're just like, Did you ever have to like be in that zone of I gotta say something that's funny, but wait a minute, I gotta govern myself, and also like it's hard to, you know what I mean? Like, so when I think if comics slip stuff out, whatever, who cares? Like, I mean, it's all part of trying to be going with the spirit of trying to be in improv and everything. But I'm sure you've heard about the Joey Diaz thing about what he said
He made a comment about how he had women do things for him to get spots at the Comedy Store in LA.
Oh, and wow. Joe, no, I haven't heard that one. Yeah.
Joe Rogan was, it was on Joe Rogan's show 10 years ago, and they were laughing. Joe Rogan laughed about it, and he said, oh my God, how many women did you have do that? And he's like, 20. And Joe Rogan laughed even harder. And now they're like, Twitter and everyone, this cancel culture is trying to get Joe Rogan and Joey Diaz shut down because of a joke that Joey Diaz said 20 years ago, you know?
Oh, wow. Yeah. Coming back around. Yeah. That's wild. Yeah. I don't know. I guess it depends on the details of that one. That sounds like it can be pretty shady, but I don't know. I mean, he could have been just being funny though, or trying to be.
Yeah,
funny.
That's what I mean. It's about a joke. So I've been in some of these improv groups where they're all meeting in secret, gathering together, and they're making these, and they're funny. And like, but like, I often feel like, oh, if someone's ever filming at the, oh, well, he's, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
How do you know what you said like 10 years ago or 20 years ago? And something 20 years ago, what was said was perfectly fine, might not be fine in 25 years in the future. Yeah. And that's why I'm like, I have an idea. How about just let everything go? And, you know, if they say something offensive, the guy's like, hey, sorry, I was just trying to talk freely, whatever, you know, like,
yeah.
The person's like either apologetic or whatever, but. I don't know. The cancel culture is definitely hitting the comedians too. I've noticed. I don't know if you've noticed that as well, but
yeah. Well, it's interesting too. Like, slightly different thing, but in the same vein. Like, we do a lot of shows. You know, you can have shows that are sort of built for adults. Like, you know, maybe it's a blues show, or maybe it's just adult content, whatever. And then you might go and do like family friendly shows or shows where there'll be kids at. You know,
right. And
you have to be able to. Like, in this show, I can't talk about, you know, some of the things I said in the other one, which is, and I guess you get used to switching on and off, but sometimes stuff slips out and it, you know, can get weird. But
I always try for a way to blend them both together, where anything I say could be referenced to, is he being sexual in some way, but I'm not swearing, and I'm and they don't know what I'm talking about, eggplant, or like, you know, something to do with like throbbing, and they'll be like, oh, maybe he just really loves, you know, talking about Italian sausage sandwiches with, you know, extra, and like I kind of like a blend of anyone can see anything, but I definitely get it too, you know, you kind of want to watch what you say around precious children. It's kind of like drinking around children. Like, I always feel awkward drinking around kids. Do you ever notice that? Like, 8-year-olds, 9-year-olds, and I'm there drinking, I'm like, there's kids around me, you know, I feel like I'm sinning in a way, so I try to flee, you know, and just go drink alone then, so that way it's just better for everybody.
See, if you give them a drink too, it's fine, because everybody's equal. That's one of those things I'll regret saying in 20 years whenever, you know, this comes back
right
up.
Again, why I would just prefer, you know, I was living in Texas, and Texas is a lot different than Pennsylvania, where drinking around children is a little more frowned upon, I would say, in Pennsylvania. But in Texas, they're like, you don't drink in front of your own children and their classmates. And I'm like, oh, okay, I'm not used to this. And they're all like, it's a lot more, what's the word? Not as frowned upon, or actually, it's welcomed a lot there. And in my situation, I'm like, man, I feel weird, like, because I'm going to start, like, talking about, you know, hey, but, you know, like, stuff might come out of my mouth that I wouldn't normally say in front of innocents.
Well, if people heard the conversations that you have with me while we're driving around the country, we would be banned from YouTube immediately.
Well, last time I checked, we're still living in America, Case. So,
so hey, man, let's get back to your career here. I read in your biography that you have an award-winning film. You're an award-winning filmmaker. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that? What movie won?
Oh, yeah. Well, we've made – I say we because it's such a collaborative team thing, you know. Like, I've made a lot of short films and features over the years. So, I don't know. That a lot of them have gotten various awards here and there. Driven got a good slew of them, which was cool because it was kind of spaced out with, like, best actor, best writing, best music, blah, blah, best movie, kind of spaced around the country in different, you know, different festivals. It just depends. But awards are really weird because you – yeah, you just never know what's going to happen anytime. So it's very objective to what people want. So they're really cool to have. Like, it's like a yes, please, and thank you. I'll take them. But you don't want to look for it. Otherwise, you know, you'll have a very sad life because they don't just flow often all the time like you think they might, I guess. So I'll take them, but whatever.
Sure. Yeah. What were you doing? So while you were making movies, what were you working in? Like, what was your life like? Like, what did you do for a living before all this? Aside from like selling paint or selling, you know, your paintings.
Yeah. So for several years, I did a lot of oddball jobs here and there. I was self-employed artist now, so I just do film and art. But for several years, I worked at a Barnes & Noble, actually a bookstore. Which was cool because there's like a creative vibe and a lot of really, really cool people there. It was funny because I think artistic people were drawn to the place because I loved it there. It didn't pay anything, but you'd find so many like actors and writers and artists that all just sort of found themselves working there, I guess, because of the vibe maybe. But yeah, it was cool. I really enjoyed my time there. So I was there for like nine years or something like that. While making movies and trying to progress through that whole world.
Barnes & Noble, you know, it's a good place to take a date if you want to go somewhere and really get to know someone. Always
go somewhere for free.
Go somewhere for free. You know, the Starbucks is always, you know, $12 in there. I always like to see what section that someone goes to, you know? And when they go to the New Age section, spiritual, alien, UFO, biblical prophecies, I'm like, all right, this is the one I want to talk to. You know what I mean? Next thing you know, you're both sitting on the floor, books everywhere. You know, maybe you might, you know, touch a leg or something. You might make them laugh and they give us a knee slap. Barnes & Noble, good place for a date. I mean, what section, if you were a books library, what section would you be in?
Would I be in? Oh my gosh. Strangely enough, I was over the kids section of the store, which works really well for this interview. But I'd probably be like film and art or something like that, I guess. Definitely not self-help. That's, you know, I gave up on that a long time ago.
Self-help.
Yeah, I gave up on that one. So that's it.
Yeah. Well, you know what they say about self-help books? The author, it's like the author's always, you always like the book, but you always hate the author. The author of self-help books are always like kind of like just jerks, you know, look how easy I feel like they just wrote it while they were doing something. You know what I mean? Like they never had it, but they wrote about it and then they had it. You know, like they're like, if I just like find a way to write about it and tell people, and what happened for me? That's pretty sure that's close of how the majority of them do it.
I would never want to put out a book like that because I feel like you're just asking to be under a microscope yourself. Because if you don't have your crap together, you could never make a mistake because then you're just a phony, you know?
Right. And then if you, you know, suicide yourself, everyone's laughing at, oh, I thought he was so happy with his life, you know, and not laughing at suicide, but like they're saying, oh, I thought the guy was so happy. He just, you know, do that car thing, whatever, breathing in the inhalation. Yeah, I feel you on that. We're not laughing about, you know, suicide.
What's the I'm trying to get off of this topic.
Yeah, good segue. What's the segue you got?
Yeah, it's a great segue. What's the acting scene and the comic scene like where you're from there in Tupelo?
Yeah, it's not bad. It's a small town, so you know, there's some film stuff happening and a pretty good art community. We used to do, like with our improv group, we do like one show a month. We used to do one show a week. And we tried to force it into a bigger a bigger city than it sort of was, which was really cool. And we enjoyed doing that for a couple of years, but we trimmed it back. So, you know, it's a decent-sized town with some opportunities to do stuff and pretty supportive community, so that's cool. There's a lot of stand-up as well going around, and then a lot of other improv groups and comedians and other, you know, surrounding cities around Mississippi too. It's pretty tight-knit. What's cool is it's, I mean, it'd be nice if it was bigger just for opportunity's sake, but also it's small enough that most of the people in these circles are all pretty cool with each other. You know, like, it's not super competitive because everybody's like just like fighting for the same audience necessarily. We're all kind of spread out enough to where everybody can be really close friends and stuff, which is nice.
Is Tupelo, this might be, is Tupelo a big honey place, Tupelo Honey? She's as sweet as Tupelo Honey. Is that about Tupelo?
Honestly, a lot of us are still trying to figure that out ourselves. We're not really sure. But Elvis Presley was born in Tupelo, so that's sort of the main draw, you know, that everybody kind of pops up from around the world.
I was just watching that Bob Joyce thing about how he might be Bob Joyce, that pastor. Look up Bob Joyce for everybody that doesn't know who he is. Bob Joyce, J-O-Y-C-E, is supposedly Elvis. If, you know, if any of our awesome listeners that still believe Elvis is alive, hey, that's awesome. That's cool. Bob Joyce.
Really? That's interesting.
Are you a conspiracy guy at all?
When they're entertaining, I believe them. That's basically what my philosophy. I'm just kidding.
All right. Yeah, Jim's a big conspiracy guy.
Look,
Bob Joyce. I haven't looked that one up yet, but
yeah, I've never heard of that.
And not that I believe it. I, you know, that's what they like. I'm all like, hey, you can believe whatever you want. You know, flat Earth. We were just looking at the moon the other day. It does look closer when you look at it. It doesn't.
See what I have to deal with?
Yeah, that's got to make some good road trip talk, though. So, have you gone to what's it called? Area 51. How am I forgetting this?
Roswell.
Yeah, Roswell. Yeah. New Mexico.
Not yet. I've been through New Mexico about five times, but I never went to Roswell. Yo, we should do that.
I drove through Roswell.
Oh, really?
It's like a tourist, you know. It seems like a tourist trap.
But I'd be okay with that. Like, I'd go to the diner with the cardboard cutout alien. Like, yeah. Take, you know, selfies and stuff.
Yeah,
that's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
Well, Before we wrap up here, I usually like to ask our guests, what can you leave with our listeners and viewers, that a piece of advice on how you got where you are now from being a artist, driving the country in your car to what you do now, just something they can put in their pocket now and years down the road, months down the road, days down the road, whatever, they can pull it out and like think about it. Oh, you know, I remember he said this, and just something to put in a little seed in their heart of growth in someone's life.
Yeah, I think for me, and I don't want to sound too generic with it, but I think it's really important to kind of go after the things that sort of fuel you, you know, like something, if you really love it and you need it and you need to do it, doesn't matter what it is, like it's acting, making movies, or doing basket weaving, doesn't matter, whatever it is that like speaks to you that you love, give it a shot. And don't let so like I'm single, I don't have kids, and so I can put all my money and time into the thing that I'm passionate about. But even if you're in a different situation, you may not go start the band, you know, and travel the country, but you could go get a guitar, you know, if that's your thing. You know, you can get one from a pawn shop. Like, find ways to kind of nurture whatever it is that you love and you feel like you really want to do, even if it's on a small scale, because that's just as important and viable. And watch Driven.
Yeah. Before we close here, tell everyone where they can find Driven and you. Are you on Instagram, Twitter, website, all that good stuff?
Yeah, I'm on Instagram and Twitter under the handle is @artistgp2. And you can find Driven on iTunes. You can get the DVD on Amazon with lots of cool extras. And it's also on pretty much all the other VOD places you can expect. It's a fun ride, pun intended. And yeah, anyway, hopefully if you get a chance to watch it, you'll be a little happier than before you did, because it's hopefully funny and enjoyable. We'll see.
Awesome, man. Well, thanks for taking the time out of your day to do this. We appreciate it, man.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me, guys. Enjoy your trip.
Thank you, man.
Thank you.